Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on looking at economic reality when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Now, are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated these Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that's teaching this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the law of God, the common law, natural law, or karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order a free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call now and then order one. The number is 417-273-4967. Just call and ask for it. That number again is 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. I want you to do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about economic reality. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't give you the answer to the riddle here. There's an opposite to this. Whatever it was that caused this economic meltdown around the world, if whatever it was that we did to cause this economic meltdown, if we did the exact opposite, we wouldn't have that, would we? So what is the exact opposite to the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto that we're practicing that has caused this problem? And the answer to the exact opposite is the Ten Commandments. So there are the Ten Commandments, which are codified in 16 statutes through the Scripture. And those 16 statutes are the economic laws that we got from our Creator. Now, He told us if you practice these 16 economic laws, you'll have wealth and prosperity, and if you don't, you'll have poverty. Now, we have elected poverty, and we've got plenty of it. So I thought I would go through these 16 laws, and I'll show you where they are in the Scripture. So get your pen and paper out here, and you can copy them down. And I'll show you where they are in our Mosaic Law School. Now, the Mosaic Law School has all of the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in addition to the benefits and the penalties for the violation of them. For instance, you commit adultery, the penalty is death. And the way you die is you get AIDS, herpes, or VD. It's called a sexually transmitted disease. It's automatic. You don't need a policeman passing out tickets over here at Flo's Whorehouse to the patrons. And then just a little virus or a little bacteria gets in and takes care of the problem right there. Now, the same thing is true with economics. You violate a law, and there's an automatic reward or there's an automatic penalty that comes from it. Now, watch this. First one is chapter 11. It deals with blessings. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 through 13, and Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, contains the statutes that you need to follow in order to have economic wealth. If you want to avoid foreclosure on your house and the repossession of your car, if you want to have full employment, if you want to be able to live your life without welfare, food stamps, unemployment, and impediments to your health, safety, and welfare, then these are the laws to follow. Let me just give you an illustration. I won't read them all, but I'm going to read this one. Leviticus 26, verses 1 through 13. He starts off by saying, "You shall make you no idols nor graven images." And neither shall you rear you up a standing image, and neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, because I am the Eternal your God, and you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, because I am the Eternal. Now if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I'll give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and your vintage shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and you shall dwell in your land safely, and I'll give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I'll rid evil beasts out of the land, and neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, because I'll have respect unto you, and I'll make you fruitful, and I'll multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat the old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I'll set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I'll walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. And I am the Eternal your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondsmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you to go upright. Now that's a pretty good benefit. That comes under what we call the blessing statute in Leviticus 26, verses 1 through 13, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. I say that's a pretty good program. Now we've replaced that program with the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the confiscation of all of the property of immigrants and rebels. So, if you don't want to practice this blessings statute, you can practice the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto, and that's what we've been doing, and that's what we now have. There's a confiscation going on. The confiscation is going on in the form of repossessions and foreclosures, and there's a lot more of it to come. All right, let's try credit. Chapter 26 deals with credit. Now, God said that you shall lend to many, but you shall borrow from none. So let's take a look here at Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27. Now, the opposite to this statute is the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for central banks. And we have adopted the Federal Reserve Bank in place of the credit statute in Exodus 22. Listen to this. If you lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, you shall not be to him as a usurer, and neither shall you lay upon him usury. And if you at all take your neighbor's raiment to pledge, you shall deliver it unto him by that the sun goes down, because it's his covering only, and it's his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he cries out to me, that I will hear, because I'm gracious. All right, now, number one, we were told don't practice collateralization of a loan. And so what do? And we go out and we collateralize the loan by pledging our property for the money that we borrow in order to buy the things that we lust after. And that's number one. Number two, it's against the law to practice usury. Now, if it's against the law for me to charge you usury, it's against the law for you to pay me usury. And if you're paying it to me, then you're an accessory before and after the fact. Oftentimes I hear people complain, say, well, I'm not charging anybody any usury. They're charging me. Nobody's charging you usury until you sign your name on the bottom of the contract. So don't give me any of this. Gosh, I'm the victim here. And you're a co-conspirator with the banker. Now, number 48 calls for gifts, bribes, and rewards. It's against the law to give a gift or a bribe. It's against the law to pay extortion, pay blackmail, or to hire somebody for gifts, bribes, and rewards, such as our Congress and our legislators who take these gifts and bribes at the hands of the lobbyists. Remember, the lobbyists? All right, we're on chapter 48 here. Let's see if I can find it here quickly. Here we go, gifts, bribes, and rewards. There's a statute that prohibits that. It says here in Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 through 20, it says, judges and officers shall you make in all of your gates, which the Eternal your God gives you, throughout all of your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not wrest judgment, you shall not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shall you follow, and that you may live and inherit the land which the Eternal your God gives you. Now what we're actually practicing here, in place of gifts, bribes, and rewards, is the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our political operation. We're out here making laws in violation of the laws of God. Now, there's two statutes here. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 12, verse 32 tell us not to add into this law and not to take anything away from it. And so we're out here voting like mad, putting these politicians in office so that they can take gifts, bribes, and rewards and rape, rob, and pillage all of us. Has it ever occurred to you that if voting was the solution to the problem, that we wouldn't have any problems at all, because we've been busily voting for the last 234 years now, haven't we? So if voting is going to solve our problems, then voting would have prevented the problems from coming up. Now, we sure got plenty of problems now that we've been voting for 234 years. Has it ever occurred to us that maybe we ought to quit doing that? All right, now number three calls for the inheritance law. That inheritance law is found in Numbers chapter 33, verses 50 through 56. Numbers chapter 33, verses 50 through 56. See if I can find it here. Chapter 61 here. Yep, an inheritance statute. Here's what it says. The Eternal spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, and he said, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you say to them, when you're passed over Jordan and come into the land of Canaan. Put another way, when you pass out of New York and go into Pennsylvania and west on into the Ohio Territory, you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all of their pictures and destroy all of their molten images and totally pluck down all of their high places, and you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, because I have given the land to you to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give, the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give, the less inheritance. And every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falls. According to the tribes of your fathers you shall inherit it. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, remember this is the Indians now, if you will not drive out these inhabitants, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. And moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Now, I thought to drive them out, and so you can get ready for this one, kids, because we're going to be driven out. That's the penalty for not practicing that inheritance statute. I know it's not kind and gentle, but then our God wasn't kind and gentle to the Canaanites, and he told us not to be kind and gentle to the Indians, but then, you know, we're smarter than God, and so we made treaties with them instead of driving them out. Chapter 63 calls for the Jubilee year. That's Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 55. Now, I'm going to pass on that one. And then instead of reading the whole thing, I'll let you read it yourself. The Jubilee statute and the land Sabbath go together. And that's number 63 and 70 here in the Mosaic Law Book. Let me circle off a couple, three of these so I don't come back and do them again. That's number 69. Now, that's the seventh plank to the Communist Manifesto that we've put in place instead of landmarks. Same thing with the Jubilee year. And we got landmarks and land Sabbath, and we've got the Jubilee year. Seventh plank to the Communist Manifesto. Let me just read the seventh plank here to you, show you what we've done here in place of practicing the Ten Commandment model. The seventh plank calls for the extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state and the bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. These extensions of factories and instruments of production owned by the state are called corporations. The bringing into cultivation of wastelands is called the Desert Land Entry Act, and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan are called soil conservation districts. Now, we've got all of that here in the United States, and you people in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and Western Europe are practicing that same seventh plank in place of practicing the Jubilee year, the landmark law, and the land Sabbath statute. So it's in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. That'll give you the land Sabbath statute. The landmark law is in Deuteronomy 19, verse 14. And the Jubilee year law is in Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 55. Kind of a long, drawn-out statute there. There's three statutes and all. And they'll tell you the story concerning this land Sabbath and Jubilees and the landmark statute, which is the opposite to the seventh plank to the Communist Manifesto. All right, the fifth one in here. Remember, I told you there's 16 of these statutes. And so we're now up to, I've given you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's number 5, just weights and balances. That is the opposite to the fifth plank to the Communist Manifesto. So if we flip over here to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 16. Now, just weights and balances are gold and silver coins, for instance, or wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, property. And protects property rights. It's protected by the eighth plank, or the eighth commandment, I shouldn't say plank, eighth commandment, which says, thou shalt not steal. All right, 66 here. Come on, 66. Let's see where we're at. Just balances. Here we are. You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, and you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Eternal your God. There's two of these statutes. Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36 is the other one. It says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Eternal your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, commonly, we think of that statute as the butcher who's got an unjust scale. His scale is skewered. Or you go in to fill up your tank with gasoline, and the gas pump, which is supposed to be pumping 1 gallon, pumps 9/10 of a gallon, and they're stealing a little from you. Not much, just a little bit. Well, that's true. Those are unjust weights and balances. But let's try on a couple more. What do you think of the Federal Reserve System set up by your government to put out paper money so that they can inflate that paper money and steal from you with a stealth tax? What do you think of that? Or how about stocks and bonds so that we can take your labor in the form of money, and then we can screw you out of it like we did with Enron and Citicorp and J.P. Morgan. And then how about Bank of America and who was this guy, Bernie Madoff, with his Ponzi scheme, taking your paper, offering you paper profits, and then taking your wealth away from you? See, those are all ways with which we use unjust weights and balances, through fraud, deceit, deception, first deeds of trust, second mortgages, second deeds of trust, interest and usury. These are all modalities of unjust weights and balances. Now, you know, there was a time in America when we practiced just weights and balances. We had gold and silver coin. When we wanted to buy something, we put our gold on the counter and we walked out with the cow. Fair deal. Today we're using checks, credit cards, negotiable instruments, and we're getting raped, robbed, and pillaged, and we wonder why. And we say, oh my God, there should be a law. How come Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the Congress aren't protecting us from the banks and the credit card scams? Those banks over there are screwing us, bluing us, and tattooing us, and we all know it. And we're all sitting back here complaining about it. Did it ever occur to you that bank credit cards are unjust weights and balances, and we were told not to use them to start with? Now, if you've got a credit card, you're the proximate cause of your own injury. And I know I had 28 credit cards, and I went out there, maxed them all out, and I did the same thing that everybody else has done. I just did it years ago, paid the debt off, and then learned from my experience. Most of us haven't learned yet. All right, let's take a look at number 8. Number 8 deals with strict liability. It's also known as insurance. Insurance is called limited liability. An example of strict liability is over here in Exodus 22, verses 5 and 6. So if I flip over here to number 115, here we are, strict liability. Now here in the Mosaic Law School, and I put this on compact disc, we go through all of these, all 133 titles of law, all the statutes and judgments, and all the penalties that go along with them. We put them in alphabetical order. So strict liability is number 115, chapter 115. And let's see, there's 5 statutes that deal with strict liability. Now, strict liability is where we require that you be responsible for your own actions. Listen to this. Exodus 22, verses 5 and 6 is one of them. Exodus 22, 5 and 6. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. If fire breaks out and catch in the thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindles the fire shall surely make restitution. So let's suppose you're out here burning, you know, some weeds out in your backyard. Fire gets away, goes over in your neighbor's yard, and burns up a bunch of his stuff. Maybe burns his house down or something like that. The law requires you pay every damn dime. And so to prevent that from happening, you buy homeowner's insurance, don't you? That's why we have auto insurance and homeowner's insurance and life insurance. And we have insurance up to yin-yang and the final analysis of it. If you're making $100,000 a year, it's taking about 6% of your income. And if you're poorer than that, it's taking 12% or 18% or 20% of your income to buy all these insurance policies. If you put that money in your pocket, practice strict liability, you'd be self-insured. And if you practice these statutes, everything that you put your hand to would prosper. Then you'd be putting that money in your own pocket. It's like health insurance. Now costs $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month to buy health insurance. The only thing that bothers me about the president's health insurance plan is that he's going to try to include me in it. I'm trying to get as far away from that guy and as far away from health insurance as I can get. I'm running as fast as I can in the opposite direction. I'm one of those 44 million Americans without health insurance. And would you please leave me alone? Just leave me alone. I don't want your health insurance. Now, the next statute in here is theft. The theft statute's in Exodus 22, verses 1 through 4. Let's see what this says. Exodus 22, verses 1 through 4. It says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it and sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and to be smitten that he died, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, because he should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or an ass or a sheep, he shall restore double. Now, theft requires restitution. Now, what are you people doing when you find a thief? Oh, you lock him up in prison. Now, if that isn't one of the dumbest things I ever heard of, there was a guy out in California who stole a bicycle. I don't know how much this bicycle's worth. Some of these bicycles are worth a lot of money. and I had a student in here one time. He's in the bicycle business, and he said there's bicycles out there cost $10,000. I remember I had a bicycle once cost $82. It was a Sears Roebuck. Not one needed. Take that back. It was a Montgomery Ward. Ward's Riverside. That's what it was. A Ward's Riverside. $82. 1950. My God, $82. My granddad was making $600 a month, though, in those days. Well, anyway, moral of the story was bicycle. This guy stole a bicycle. I'm going to assume it was worth $100. And it was his third offense. So in California, they got this three strikes and you're out, sentenced a guy to life in prison for stealing that bike. Now, he'd stolen some stuff before. I don't know what he stole. He was branded as kind of a petty thief. I mean, if he was out stealing Rolls Royces or Porsches or something that had some value to him, you know, we could see the logic behind him stealing a crummy bike. And then he gets caught for the third time, gets sentenced to prison for life. Do you know what it costs to lock somebody up in prison? Well, I got an old buddy out in California, and about, I don't know, 25 years ago, we were talking at our class reunion. I said, Eddie, what does it cost to keep a man in prison here for a year? And he said, well, Sirhan is in a maximum security prison, and it costs $32,000 a year to keep him in there. Maximum security prison, $32,000 a year. Now, I don't know how old this guy was, but I'm going to assume that the guy's 40 years old. He's going to live for 30 more years and die when he's 70. If you take $32,000 a year times 30 years, that's $960,000. It costs us, the taxpayers, $1 million to lock this guy up for life. Let me ask you this. Does it make any sense to you to spend $1 million to punish a guy who steals $100? I don't know who's thinking up these penalties and these laws and these concepts, but they sure have their head up the wrong end of their anatomy. Wouldn't you agree? Spending $1 million to punish a guy that stole a $100 bicycle? Hell, even if he stole a $10,000 bicycle, do you and I want to pay $1 million to store this guy someplace? Now, God comes along, and he's got a little better program. He says, here's what we do. The guy steals over here. You bore a hole through his ear, and you put him to work and make him work and pay for his theft. Now, that's a wild new concept. Instead of us taxpayers paying to store this guy in prison, we make this thief go out and work and produce and pay for the theft. Isn't that kind of crazy? Just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, what we're doing here is we're practicing, in this case here, the first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of all right to property. So we're throwing our $1 million worth of property away over this $100. Strict liability over here, this is the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. It's insurance, like Social Security is insurance. Social Security is practicing the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Instead of practicing Exodus 22 verses 5 and 6, we're practicing the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. In this case here, we're practicing the first plank to the Communist Manifesto instead of Exodus 22 verses 1 through 4. Let's try tithing. How many of you people tithe? Think about that one for a minute because I've got to give you a mid-course reminder here. If I can find my paper, here it is. Think about this tithing here for a second while I remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, non-state schools and all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing of looking at economic reality. In the previous programs, we took a look here at the international forecaster, the privateer, the money changer. We've been talking about the meltdown that's going around us, the lies that are coming out of government, the rape, robbing, and pillaging that's going on by Goldman Sachs, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. I mean, there's a looting going on of the American Treasury, such as we've never seen a looting like this before. So what's causing that? How did these people get into a position to do that? Well, we voted them in, remember? We vote, and when we vote, we go down, we register to vote, and then we vote, and we give our power of attorney to our representative. And our representative goes off to Congress, and he sat up there, and he voted to give trillions of dollars of your money and your credit and your suretyship to Bank of America and Citigroup and all these various and sundry groups and organizations and fascist businesses and so on. They did it with your consent. So I just wanted to let you know that you're the proximate cause of your own injury. Now, I took a look at this some years ago, and I said, this voting thing over here probably isn't good for me. I don't think I want to give my power of attorney to Kit Bond. Now, Kit Bond's a nice guy, and I don't begrudge him at all. And then he goes back to Washington. He represents the people here in Missouri, the citizens of Missouri. And one day I woke up and said, I don't want that guy representing me. I don't want to give my political capacity to some stranger over here and let him go vote me into debt. So I decided to withhold my foot from that program, and I opted out. Opted out. And I'm sitting on the sidelines watching the rest of you people get rich while you're voting these people into office with these stimulus packages, while you're going suretyship for trillions of dollars. That's, and get this, they just blew $30 trillion. No, not quite, $29.1 trillion, but, you know, pushing $30 trillion bucks over the last 6 or 8 months, and they did it in your name. You American taxpayers out there did it in your name. And get this, you have what's called joint and several liability. If the other 300 million Americans don't pay, you said, Joe, just come and take it all from me. I'll pay the whole thing. I took a look at that and said, I don't think I've got $30 trillion that I want to blow on Bank of America this week. Let's take a look at one more. Tithes. You've been thinking about those tithes? Well, in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12, is the exact opposite to the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a heavy progressive income tax. Now, God didn't ask for a heavy progressive income tax. He said he wanted your tithe, 10%. And then we woke up one day and said, no, what we need is a 16th Amendment. We need a heavy progressive income tax. And so that's what we got. Well, in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10, here's what God said. He said, well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. But you say, well, wherein have we robbed you, God? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. And you are cursed with a curse, because you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Eternal of Hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Eternal of Hosts. Now, what we're practicing is the income tax in place of tithing. Now, that's a criminal activity. Let me tell you why. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, we were instructed plainly, you shall not add unto this law, and you shall not take away from it. Not a jot, not a tittle, not a dotted I, not a crossed T. And so we have thrown aside the tithing law, and we have adopted the heavy progressive income tax from the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. So if you're paying the income tax and Social Security, you're practicing the second and eighth planks. Now, I'm not here to tell you not to do that. You're smarter than I am. You can make up your own mind as to whether or not you want to do that. But the income tax and Social Security, those two taxes, two out of 14 taxes, you're paying 14 taxes, boys and girls. Out of those 14 taxes, those two, income tax and Social Security, take one-third of everything you create and produce, 16% for Social Security and 17% for the income tax. Now, add it up, 17 and 16, that's 33. 33, that's a third, one-third of everything you create and produce, two taxes. Now, your creator said he wanted you to pay him 10%, not 10% of the gross, 10% of the net, 10% of the increase. And you said, hell no, we won't go. All right, next, usury. Now, the credit markets out here are melting down. You notice that? And now there's 19 million houses on the market. I don't think all 19 million of them have been foreclosed on, but a bunch of them have been. And they're foreclosing on these houses. Now, I told you in the last program, I said you got the big mess that's going on in the world today was called by the subprime meltdown. And beginning in June, there's going to be a second economic meltdown in housing. It's called the ALTA. ALTA loans, there's another one goes along with it, I think it's called SIVs. They started about this time, June of 2006. and they're going to reset now in June of 2008, and they're going to run through 2009. They're going to run through 9, 10, 11, 12. So the next 3 or 4 years, these loans are going to be resetting. And there's going to be a wave of foreclosures estimated at double the first round of foreclosures, and then maybe even triple, depending upon how bad the unemployment problem gets. You know, it depends on how big this avalanche of debt coming down the mountainside over here gets as to whether or not it could actually go to three times, but they're figuring on at least double, twice as many. Well, I'm just going to guess here, out of 19 million houses, I suppose half of them are foreclosed on. And the other half are just new houses that haven't been sold yet, for half of, you know, it's about 10 million. So there's in the neighborhood of 20 million more houses going to be foreclosed on over the next 36 months. So 10 million ain't enough. I'll take a look at 20 million more. And what caused that? Usury. You went out here and signed all these notes and mortgages. All these people are the proximate cause of their own injury. Now, where in the hell was Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and Jerry Falwell when all this crap was coming down here 10 years ago or 20 or 30 years ago? How come these guys weren't out here telling you about these laws and telling you not to go suretyship, don't collateralize the note, don't practice usury and interest, don't practice unjust weights and balances? Huh? I don't know. I'm asking you, where was Billy Graham? All right, now that's number 11. Now we've covered credit, gifts, bribes and rewards, inheritance, jubilee years, just weights and balances, landmarks, land sabbath, strict liability, theft, tithes, usury. Now that's 11 in scriptural laws. Let's try number 12 is wages. Number 12, wages. In Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 through 16, there's a law here that deals with wages. It has several statutes to it. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 4. It's got four statutes that deal with wages. So God comes along and he says, okay, now when people are out here working for wages, here's what we got to do. You shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night until the morning. When was the last time you got paid every day at the end of the day? Well, more than likely you don't. You get paid every week, or you get paid every 2 weeks, or maybe you get paid once a month. And did you know there was a statute in here that required that wages be paid every day? I'm just passing it along so that you'll know. Now, you're not getting paid every day. And then in 24 verses 14 through 16, this is Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 through 16, we're instructed that you shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of your brethren or of the strangers that are in the land within your gates. At his day you shall give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, because he's poor and he sets his heart upon it, lest he cries out against you unto the Eternal, and it be sin unto you. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So here's a statute that says, you got to pay this hired guy at the end of every day. So when you're hiring somebody for wages now, you got to pay him every day. Now, you don't have to pay a guy every day if you're hiring him by contract, which is maybe a little better way for you to do business. But here in America, we got a lot of employees, and all you employees out there should be paid at the end of every day, and you're not getting paid every day. Now, unless you're a consultant or you're getting paid under contract of some kind, that's a statute, that's a requirement. It's part of the economic laws of the nation. And if you're a businessman and you ain't paying your men every day, at the end of every day, if they're laborers and wage earners, well, then you're in violation of this statute. Now, here in America, I don't know that we've ever practiced this statute. It is true, when you hire a guy for a day and he works one day, you pay him at the end of the day, called day laborers. You find these people from Mexico standing out on the street corner, you bring those guys in, you hire them, take them out, they work for a day, at the end of the day, you pay them for that one day. But boy, that's pretty rare. All right, let's take a look at work, W-O-R-K. Boy, that's a dirty word in this country. And if there's one word that's a four-letter word in the United States, it's work. Work, W-O-R-K. You can't find an American who wants to work. And if you can find one, send him my way, would you? Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 8. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 8. This is number 13 in the Mosaic Law. Well, it's actually the title to it. It's the last chapter in the entire book. It's number 133. But it's the 13th in our list here of 16 economic laws. 16 economic laws. It says, the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you say to them, concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So if you want to know who these feasts are, most people say, oh, that's those Jewish. No, they're not. No, they're not. The Creator said, these are my feasts. Now, here in the United States, we're not practicing the feasts of God. We're practicing Christmas, Easter, and New Year's. We're practicing the Babylonian mystery religion. Now, he told you not to do that, but 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. It's a holy convocation, and you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Eternal in all of your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Eternal, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Eternal. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Eternal 7 days. And in the seventh day is a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein. There is one with two holy days. Now you got the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles, Last Great Day, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Trumpets. You got seven annual holy days, and then you got the weekly Sabbath. Now, it used to be in this country, when we were talking about work, we used to practice as workmen. We used to practice Sabbaths, the weekly Sabbath. We lived on Sunday, long day of the week, but you know, nevertheless, we did it. Now, we work any day of the week we want, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Walmart's open, so are the gambling casinos. Hell, most of the businesses of America are open 24/7. You know, the big corporations, they don't have any problems with that. Now, we talked about blessings early on, and got two more here, gleaning and negligence. Gleaning, the gleaning law, it's an agricultural law. What we're practicing in its place is the ninth plank to the Communist Manifesto, but in Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 through 21, instead of practicing welfare, aid to families with dependent children, and food stamps, etc., we should be practicing the gleaning statute, and that's number 49 in the Mosaic Law School. Now, there's a couple, three statutes here, 1, 2, 3. Let's take a look here at Deuteronomy 24. When you cut down your harvest in the field, and you have forgot a sheaf out in the field, you shall not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, and the Eternal your God may bless you in all of your work and all of the work of your hands. When you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, the objective here is to leave something out here so that these people will have what Ronald Reagan used to call in California work fare instead of welfare, he proposed, and that we have work fare, that these people, instead of just going out here and drawing their welfare checks, they actually go down to City Hall and wash the windows, empty the waste paper baskets, and mop the floors. Boy, what an outrage that produced. Of course, we didn't do that. We're not going to have welfare recipients working. That isn't going to happen. So, here in the scripture, though, instead of paying your taxes so that you can support the welfare recipient has to go out and work and produce his own. And you have to make provision for him to do that. So he comes in here, and I tested this. I put up a sign one time over at Mackey's Feed Store, and I said, gleaning. I got some phone calls, and they said, what in the hell is gleaning? I said, you come over here and you pick up the fruit that falls on the ground. And the guy said, do you furnish the ladders, boxes, and bags and stuff? Do you pick that for us, or do we have to pick it up? I said, no, you come over here, you bring your own boxes, you drive over here yourself, and out here in my orchard there's apples and plums and cherries and stuff, and falls on the floor, falls on the ground, and then what's left in the tree, you can pick them. Are you going to furnish the ladders? No, no. I never had a single person ever come over here and pick up one apple. Not one. Never. Now, why in the hell would a guy want to come over here and pick up apples off the ground when he can go into Town and Country Market and have them bagged up and shipped out the door at taxpayer expense and put in your trunk? So I'm not here trying to get you to go out and glean. I don't want to spoil your day, you know, and get you up from the TV, make you go out and work or something like that. God forbid I'd want to do something like that. I just wanted to point out that there's an economic system here, 16 statutes, and if we practice these 16 statutes, we wouldn't be outsourcing our jobs to China. We'd have an economy and be something different than what we've got today. There wouldn't be any foreclosures on houses, wouldn't be any repossessed automobiles, none, zero, zero repossessions, zero foreclosures practicing these 16 statutes. I'm sitting here today, an old man, I'm not complaining about the foreclosures, I'm not complaining about the economy. I'm not complaining about Ford shutting down or Chrysler getting bailout money or General Motors filing for bankruptcy. I'm not paying for it. And then if you people want to pay for it, you certainly have a right to do that. Don't let me get in your way. Let's try one more here. It's number 84 in the Mosaic Law. It deals with negligence. There's a negligence statute in here. Number 84, negligence. It's in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. I guess I got a minute here. If an ox gores a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it's been testified to his owner, and he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he has gored a son or has gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass falls therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one of the man's ox hurts another's that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it. And the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox has used to push in time past, and his owner has not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. This is called negligence. You know, if you go out here and you're living your life and you cause somebody a damage, nor if you fail to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public when you knew or should have known that your actions over here or your lack of action was going to cause somebody a damage, you have to pay for it all yourself. Now, today what we do is we buy insurance. Now, that's against the law. That's called limited liability. And we're instructed to practice strict liability. Now, here they are, 16 laws. I just gave them all to you. These are the 16 economic laws. Now, there are 15 or 16 agricultural laws. There are 19 health laws. There are 133 subject matters of law in the scripture. All of these laws have penalties. There's a penalty for the violation of every one of these statutes right here. Now, when you violate these economic laws, the typical, natural, usual, everyday garden variety, ordinary penalty is poverty. You lose money violating these laws. Now, if you practice these laws, then you'll probably make money. It's pretty simple. If you'll practice strict liability in place of limited liability, all the money that you're now spending on insurance you can put in your coffee can. I've got a coffee can, an insurance can over here, and all the money that I would be paying on insurance I put into my coffee can. And then when I have a medical expense or I have some casualty over here, I go to my coffee can. I'm self-insured. I go to my coffee can and I pull out the money I need and pay for it. It's called saving for a rainy day. It's what we used to call it in the old days. You can call it whatever you want. I'm not complaining about the insurance companies screwing everybody down on the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina, after you bought all these hurricane policies, and now they won't pay on them, and the insurance companies are screwing you, blueing you, and tattooing you. You brought it on yourself by buying the policy in the first place. Insurance is against the law, and it isn't against the law because little Georgie Gordon said so. It's against the law because the creator of the universe said so, and that's the penalty that you pay for it, poverty. I'm about out of time here again. I'm going to have to wrap it up here and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. Got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.